This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Get a Casper mattress and start your year off right. Try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Matt Walsh, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
The Unholy Trinity. I'll tell you, every time you come out with an article, you were one of the few authors that I try to read every time, because you always have something. You've always seemed to distill whatever it is the country is talking about or debating. You seem to be able to distill it. You're taking on a pretty huge task here to distill life, marriage, and gender.
Yeah, well, it probably deserves many more books and a better book than I'm capable of writing. But in fact, when I looked at it before, when I thought of the idea for this book, and I kind of looked to see if anyone else had written it so that I wouldn't have to. But it seemed that nobody had. The relationship, or the way that these campaigns on the left are connected, their battle to redefine human life, marriage, and gender. And it strikes me that this right here, this is the foundation of the entire culture war, that they're all connected, and they happened one after another.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of people talking about how the fact that these things are connected. So that's why I, unfortunately, I had to be.
So show me how they are connected, Matt.
Well, because what is the left? You know, what is leftism? What is liberalism? Whatever you want to call it. I think fundamentally, it's the rejection of objective truth, of moral truth, scientific truth, the rejection of God. And in place of that, once they've rejected that, what do they put in place of it? They put relativism, where everything is relative to how I feel about it. And so they began, 40 years ago with Roe v. Wade. Abortion had to be the first step. Because you begin by making human life itself relative. And that's the interesting thing a lot of people miss about the pro-abortion side. It's not that they necessarily argue that the baby in the womb isn't human or isn't a person. They say that its humanity and personhood depends on how the mother feels about it. So if Beyonce was with the Grammy, she was pregnant, she was dancing, and everyone was talking about, oh, she's a mother, she's got a baby in her belly. Because she wants her baby. So she wants a baby, and plus it's Beyonce's baby. So, of course, it's more important than a normal baby. So then in that case, it's human. But if a mother doesn't want the baby, then it's no longer human. So the baby's life is relative to how the mother feels about it.
So, Matt, are you concerned that this is getting worse and worse and worse, and we are coming up to a time in technological history to where we're going to have to defend life? What is life itself? When does it begin and when does it end? And do you have a right as a society to end people's lives because they've lived long enough? We're 15 years away from having to really answer those questions, and we are disconnecting, as you said, from science. They claim that because of global warming, you know, the right are the keepers of science, or the left are the keepers of science, but they're denying it's a baby with an ultrasound.
Yeah, they deny that this thing, they would even argue, depending on the mother feels about it, that it's not even human. That argument is, there's no scientific basis for that whatsoever. If it's not a human, what is it? It's got to be, fetus is not a species. A human is a species. So to suggest that at one point in our existence, we are not of the human species, is of course crazy. And we know that now they've moved on to, the final prong was the transgender thing, which is a total insanity. It's suggesting that my sex is relative to how I feel. So it is. Once they've completed that process, and once we've allowed them to, and we buy into it, we buy into this premise, then there's no, I don't know where it ends. There's no stopping it at that point.
Bring in marriage to this.
Well, yeah, marriage is, unfortunately, it seems that many conservatives, Christians, have, they'll agree that we need to you know, we still need to fight about life. We need to stand for the sanctity of life. I think many will also agree that, hey, we can't give them this gender thing because that's just crazy. But now we've kind of jumped over marriage and we've said, well, they won marriage. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, let's just move on from that. I think that's a huge mistake. That's a huge mistake, because the argument about marriage, it was never, you know, the way the left framed it, they said that, oh, we conservatives are trying to make gay marriage illegal. We're trying to prohibit men and men from loving each other. It was never that. Our argument was that marriage is a certain thing. It is something. It has dimensions. It has a function. It has a purpose in society. And so it is the union between a man and a woman. We never asked the government to define it. We just wanted the government to recognize what it is, just like I want the government to continue recognizing what male and female is. I don't want the government to define male and female. I just want them to recognize that a male is a male. You know, we have to have a government that recognizes reality at the very least. So if we allow them, if we just say, okay, fine, well, maybe marriage is relative. If two men love each other, then they can redefine this ancient human institution. And if we give that to them, then on what basis can we engage on any of these other points? I think that because they're all connected, we have to be united. We have to engage them on all of them or none of them. Because if we give them one, then I think we kind of cede the rest.
But how do you navigate these waters when the right is just as unhinged from reality as the left is? I couldn't say just as. But we're headed in the same direction. We're, you know, what does it mean, Matt, honestly, to be a conservative, to be a Christian, to, you know, to believe in small government? What does any of that mean anymore after the last 2 years?
Well, that's a really good question. I know what it means to be a Christian. So that's why more and more I say, well, look, I'm a Christian. If you want to know what to label me a Christian, label me an American, a father, you know, a husband. I mean, I know what those labels mean, and they define.
Do you think the average person knows what a Christian? Do you think the average person on the left, and quite honestly, many of the people on the right, actually know or define Christianity the same way you do?
No, they don't. They don't. But it does have a definitive definition, whether or not they reject it. Well, that's a different matter, but it does have a definitive definition. Conservatism is like a political label, so those definitions do change over time. I don't think it's really ingrained or definitive, but Christianity is ingrained and definitive. You know, you believe that Christ came to earth to suffer and die for the redemption of mankind, and you strive to live and serve Christ and to be with him in this life and the next. That is Christianity. Anything outside of that is not Christianity, period. But conservatism is, you know, that's a more of a fluid label. And now it's gotten to the point where I don't know what it means anymore. And I don't know if I even want to identify myself with it.
So how do we get to a place to where we can come together and we can, actually begin to agree on the truth? You have the left saying things that are absolutely crazy about, you know, if you're not attracted to a woman, if you're, quote, not attracted to a woman with a penis, then you are a sexist. Well, I hate to point it out, but women don't have penises. You know, if you don't believe in, you know, the new right and that a $1 trillion stimulus package is good for the country, well, then you're not with us. You're an enemy. How do we find our way to each other when truth doesn't matter?
Yeah, I think we have to begin. Well, liberals have an advantage because they are unified. They're all kind of on the same page. It is easier for them to be on the same page because their fundamental, guiding principle is that they can do whatever they want and everything is up to them. So it's kind of easy to live according to that and to get everyone to agree with it. Our side, quote unquote, has a belief system that requires more of us. Because you're identifying and you're submitting yourself to objective truths and you're saying you have to order your life around them, and that requires effort and sacrifice. So it is more difficult, but I think we have to begin by just establishing what are our most fundamental, most basic beliefs. And, you know, do we agree on those? And then if we can all agree on those, then, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe we could disagree a little. We can have some disagreements on some of the other finer points, on some of the economic things or whatever else. But I think we all have to be on the same page that we are, you know, endowed by the Creator with life, liberty, rights, pursuit of happiness. But that comes from the Creator, and that, you know, sanctity of life, because we were created by God, our lives are sacred. Not for our own sake, but because we belong to God. I mean, these have to be our fundamental guiding principles. And if we, you know, I think that's what we unify around. But if we're not going to unify around that, then I don't know what we unify around. Do we just skip over that and then say, well, let's unify around the fact that we all like guns and listen to country music? I mean, that's great and everything, but I don't think that we can unify around that. We have to unify around something more fundamental. So I think that has to be the first step.
Matt Walsh is the author of The Unholy Trinity, Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender. Are you more hopeful or less hopeful than you were, let's say, 12 months ago?
Well, I'm never hopeful.
What's going to happen to us, Matt? What's going to happen to us? Look down the road and... take a guess, and I know it's a guess, but just take a guess. What's coming?
I think we have a long and arduous road ahead of us, and I think that if we have any hope of reclaiming the culture, whatever that means at this point, because it is lost to us right now, let's be honest, it's completely lost, but if we have any hope of reclaiming it, it is going to take generations, and our children, you know, and our grandchildren are going to be the ones to, you know, carry the weight of that. This is not, you know, one of my huge concerns about Trump was that conservatives would start to kind of relax, mm-hmm. and figure, oh, well, we already won, everything is going to be fine now. And that's not the case at all.
What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to him? How big was last week?
Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that. It's kind of hard for me to see him actually being in the White House for the next 4 years. I don't know. It's just, I have the same feeling as a lot of people that it's hard for me to, I don't know what 4 years of this looks like. It's hard for me to see how we can make it through 4 years. And at any rate, I mean, there are only really 2 years for the Republicans to do anything, to make any real inroads on any of these issues, because I don't think they're going to own the entire government after the midterms. And so they've got a lot of work to do, and they haven't done much as far as I can tell. So, but, you know, no matter what happens, it's all political, you know, even if everything worked great and Trump was signing conservative laws left and right, which he hasn't been, and I don't think he will, but even if he did, the culture is still the culture. Our institutions are still fundamentally lost to us. You know, the media, academia, pop culture, Hollywood. I mean,
give me an institution. Give me an institution you believe in still.
None. I believe in no institution. I believe in the institution of the family. I mean, but when I say that, I believe in my family, you know. But even the institution of the family itself in this country is in dire straits. Outside of that, I mean, what institution can you believe in? This is something that the, you know, the godless left has infiltrated all of our institutions, and they began that process many decades ago, and they've been incredibly effective at it. And it's hard for me to look at any institution in America and say, well, this institution is healthy, strong, ordered towards, you know, God, towards a higher power. I don't know.
It has been good talking to you.
But you know what? He's really, when you read his blogs, man.
I mean.
Yeah,
I love him.
Look, he's on target every time.
Matt, there's only probably small parts of this that are actually solvable, and I think I'm trying to get. I'd like to get you on board with my constitutional amendment that would require one person, one bathroom. There shall not be any shared bathrooms for anyone, anywhere. You go to a sporting event, you're not with all guys. You're with you because you get to go to the bathroom by yourself.
Pretty good ones.
I am totally on board with that. I don't like sharing bathrooms with people anyway, especially mm-hmm. in a sporting event where you're all like where you have that trough thing that you're all like livestock around it. So yeah, I'm
wait
I'm
a minute. That's
I can get behind it.
That's okay, not good. To drink out of.
No,
crap. The name of the book is The Unholy Trinity: Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender. And he is making the point, headline on the back of the book, it's not just values, reality itself is under attack. And that is true.
Yes, it is.
We've got to find our way back to reality, and Matt Walsh will help you do that. It's available everywhere. The Unholy Trinity by Matt Walsh. Matt, thanks for being on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the trouble that I have sometimes with my son and my daughter. They love the internet, as I do. The internet is an incredible resource, educational, social, recreational. It's all good, except it's not all good. Some of it is real bad, and it can show up on your kid's screen when you least expect it. So how do you as a parent handle it? I want to tell you about Hero Parental Control. It's the most comprehensive family internet solution available, and the activity from all of your family's devices can be filtered, can be monitored, and even tracked via GPS from a dashboard on your phone or your iPad. Material that may be healthy for a teen can be harmful to a young child, and so you need to have the perfect protection level from toddler to teen to mom and dad. One of the most important steps to a safer internet in your home is recognizing this is a really big issue. Hero gives you the power to create a protected and nurturing online environment. There's nothing like it. Try Hero. Block the bad. Choose what's good for your family. Visit BlazeHero.com. That's BlazeHero.com.